Chapter 7, A World of Gods and Men. Summary. CPS, I'm here to convince you to donate more money to social services. Bruce Wayne, that's why you came to my gala? CPS, yes. Also, I want you to help me prove that Jack Drake is Batman. Villain, and I'm here to take the gala hostage! Bruce Wayne, I should have stayed in outer space. I mean, Spain. I don't want to be here. Tough shit. This was not listed in the roles and responsibilities when I accepted this job. Check your contract. I believe you'll find a duties not otherwise specified bullet point. Theo glares at his boss. His borrowed shoes are giving him a blister. This is not what that clause is intended to cover. Michelle downs her flute of champagne like it's a shot of cheap vodka, complete with a shudder and a grimace. You have a way with these people, Theo. The mayor likes you. The Drake Industries board likes you. Tim likes me, and his board is moderately terrified of him. There's a difference. Whatever. Michelle hands her empty glass off to a passing waiter. Stop procrastinating. The sooner you get Wayne's ear for 5 minutes, the sooner you can leave. Theo narrows his eyes at her. That's all I have to do. Just get him to talk to me, not secure a donation or anything. Michelle snorts. I know you, Vitalis. You'll be outlining your 40-step plan within 30 seconds, and he'll be falling all over himself to write a check, so you'll stop being earnest and excitable at him. It's a 43-step plan, Theo says. I know, I've seen the slides, Michelle sighs. Go get him, Tiger. She pushes herself off the wall and starts to walk across the ballroom, flagging down someone she knows in the crowd. Because it is a crowd, and it is a ballroom. Because Theo is at the annual Wayne Enterprises Charity Gala, at Wayne Manor, which has its own ballroom. Theo got kidnapped 2 weeks ago. He'd almost rather be kidnapped again than be here. He can't stop thinking about how many bunk beds could fit in this room. He knows, objectively, that Bruce Wayne donates a ridiculous amount of money to various charities, and that Wayne Enterprises does a ton of partnering with social services, but it's still... 4 hours ago, he was on a home visit to determine if a young mom was capable of providing a safe environment for her 3-year-old son to live in. The mom, Amalia, had spent most of the visit crying because the black mold under her sink just kept coming back, no matter what she tried, and the landlord was useless and she didn't have the money to hire a professional to take care of it. Theo texted Red Hood on his way out. Hood's going to send someone over to take care of it, but Theo can't help thinking that a single place setting at this gala would have easily paid for cleaning out the pipes in Amalia's whole building. The jewelry on display on wrists and ears and necks probably surpasses the GDP of most small countries. You don't get used to it, says a voice at Theo's side. Theo turns. Sure, he's just overhearing part of a conversation, but nope. That's Dick Grayson, looking at Theo, talking to Theo, pinning Theo in place with sparkling blue eyes. It makes sense that Grayson is here. He was Bruce Wayne's ward for a decade. It's logical that he'd be in attendance. He probably still has a bedroom upstairs, possibly in another wing of the building. Theo loses a couple seconds wondering what it's like to grow up in a home that basically has its own zip code. Where do you drop your backpack after school? What if you lose your backpack entirely? It seems like an actual possibility with this type of square footage. Christ, how would you baby-proof a house like this? Not that Wayne's ever taken in an actual baby, to Theo's knowledge. But there are so many doors and staircases. Theo? Grayson prompts. Says Theo. Hi? Hi, Grayson says. His smile takes up a few notches in intensity. I don't know if you remember me. I'm Dick Grayson. We met a few months ago after the thing with Poison Ivy at Robinson Park. I remember, Theo hears himself say. Theo, that's me. I know, Grayson says, sounding amused, but not in a mean way. He gestures at the room, all the rustling gowns and sharp-shouldered suits. You were looking a little overwhelmed. So I was just saying, you don't get used to this. The wealth, the opulence, the grandeur of it all. I've been going to things like this for almost 15 years, and it's still a lot. Yeah, Theo says. Yeah. Any tips? Grayson tucks his hands into the pockets of his close-fitting dove gray suit. I find it's best to pretend that you're encountering an alien race for the first time. Theo chokes on air. Excuse me? Grayson's smile takes on a conspiratorial slant. They're a whole other culture, you know? Different expectations, different customs, basically a different language. So you start by observing, then pick a target who seems approachable, then map out a strategy for engagement. And you've developed this plan through your multiple conversations with aliens? There are aliens, of course. Superman exists. Martian Manhunter. That friend of Nightwing's, Starfire. But the idea that Detective Dick Grayson, darling of the Eastern Seaboard, has chatted up alien life forms is ridiculous. Grayson rolls his eyes. I said pretend you're encountering an alien race. Not that I actually have. Come on, pick your target. I can introduce you. I know almost everyone. Bruce Wayne, Theo decides before he can think better of it. Dick's eyebrows shoot towards his hairline. I said to choose someone approachable, and you're going with Bruce? Theo drums his fingers against the sides of his legs, anxious. He's the whole reason I'm here. No one knew he'd be in town for this until yesterday. I guess he got back from his trip early or something. So now I'm wearing dress shoes that don't fit because I didn't have time to buy my own, and my boss won't let me leave until I talk to Bruce Wayne. Might as well get it over with and go home before my blisters pop and I bleed all over my friend's shoes. Charging right on in, Grayson says, something impressed in his voice. Well, come on then. Let's get you chatting with the man of the hour. What, now? Theo asks, trailing behind Grayson when he starts gliding across the room. No time like the present. Detective Grayson. Detective Grayson! Call me Dick, Grayson says cheerfully over his shoulder. He navigates through the crowd with ease, never breaking his stride, but managing to shake hands and exchange chit-chat with everyone they pass. Do I have to? It's my name. Your name is Richard. Are you the 70-year-old British man who kept both me and Bruce alive when our collective trauma and ineptitude by all rights should have gotten us killed a decade ago? No? Then you can't call me Richard, Dick says, and claps someone on the back. Bruce, someone I'd like you to meet. Bruce Wayne turns around and It's the strangest thing. But for a second, just a fraction of a second, when Bruce turns around, Theo has that same thought he had about Nightwing a few weeks ago. That sense of realizing that you've been misled and that the person in front of you is actually far more dangerous than you were giving them credit for. Bruce is a big guy, tall and built in a way that not even a couple $1,000 suit quite camouflages. And there's something about the way he's holding that strength in the split second before he fully turns and sees who Dick is bringing into his space that rings an alarm in Theo's head. But Theo blinks and it's gone. Bruce half stumbles, weight heavy on his heel, and the people he'd been talking to chuckle as they move away. Theo doesn't have much use for tabloids or gossip pages, but he doesn't live under a rock. This is expected behavior from Bruce Wayne. At a party, in the boardroom, wherever. Drunk and lacking two brain cells to rub together. Theo's surprised there isn't a supermodel on Bruce's arm to complete the picture. Theo's just uncomfortable in seeing things that aren't there. That's all. "This is Theo Vitalis," Dick says, pulling Theo forward with a hand under his elbow. "He's with Gotham Child Protective Services. Theo, this is Bruce Wayne." Bruce beams, both at Dick and at Theo. "Boys, having a nice night?" Dick says. "It's a great turnout," Theo says. "If you increase funding to the Gotham public school system by 14%, we can dramatically reduce the rates of both violent crime and childhood poverty in the city, starting with a 3% change in the first year and plateauing around a stable 30% within the decade." Bruce and Dick blink at Theo for a long few seconds. Then, Bruce says, words markedly less slurred than during his enthusiastic greeting, "I'm listening." Theo bowls through the shock that he's not being laughed at or dismissed, fumbling his phone out of his pocket and pulling up the proposal document. It starts with providing after-school care to low-income families, free of charge. If parents and guardians don't have to worry about setting up childcare or getting off work early to pick up their kids, it exponentially increases their employment options. And if we host it at the schools themselves... Bruce plucks the phone out of Theo's hand and swipes through a few slides, squinting. "The lighting in here is awful. Come with me to the study." Theo trips over his own feet in an effort to keep up when Bruce starts moving. He looks back at Dick, hoping for support, but Dick just waves him off gleefully. Out of semi-desperation, Theo takes a quick detour and snags the only other person he can see that he knows by the back of the collar, and drags them along for the ride. "Okay," Bruce says when they've reached the study. "This room is bigger than Theo's entire apartment. There's a painting on the wall that Theo's pretty sure Max has a print of." Theo is reasonably certain that Bruce Wayne's version is not a print. "Do they offer tours of Wayne Manor? Maybe Theo could get Max up here for a tour. Their birthday is coming up. Max would probably try to steal the painting, though. Max has a previous life as an art thief that they don't talk about with anyone other than Catwoman. Theo has heard the names Parker and Elliot and Hardison bandied about a few times, and elected to remove himself from future conversations between Max and Catwoman."
"Start from the beginning. What would... Tim, why are you here?"
"This is my emotional support intern," Theo says, clutching Tim's arm to his chest. "Say hi, Tim."
"Hi, Mr. Wayne," Tim says obediently. "How was Spain?"
"Informative," Bruce says. "How are your parents?"
Tim plasters on a smile that looks painful.
"Returning from Angola next week, actually. I'll let them know that you asked about them."
"Please do," Bruce says.
That's about all the meaningless pleasantries Theo can handle. "Tim helped me with the research and numbers for the public schools plan." Bruce, now plugging Theo's phone into the laptop at one of the desks in the room and projecting Theo's presentation onto the wall, looks up.
"Oh, as your intern?"
"I needed a summer project,"
Tim says defensively.
"Surely you have other responsibilities that keep you busy?"
Tim bristles. He does it politely, of course, but he's still noticeably prickly when he responds.
"If you have constructive criticism to offer about any aspect of my performance, over the past several months. I'm open to feedback.
Bruce sighs. That wasn't what I meant.
Could have fooled me,
Tim says, tone perfectly civil and absolutely dripping with venom.
Okay, Theo interrupts whatever the hell is happening here by clapping his hands and stepping up to the projection. How does this advance? Can we go to slide 3, please, Mr. Wayne?
Bruce is fine, Bruce says, dutifully tapping at the laptop.
Where would you get staff for an after-school? What is that? Theo doesn't have to look at the slide to know what Bruce is pointing to. It's, you know, a seal of endorsement from Red Hood LLC.
LLC, Bruce repeats.
Red Hood Incorporated?
An LLC isn't a corporation, as I'm sure you're aware,
Tim says, still sounding like Michelle when she says, bless your heart, in that very specific cadence.
But yeah, I guess he needed a summer project too.
The things you miss when you're in Spain for half a year. Am I right? Theo says, extremely aware that he sounds halfway too unhinged.
Anyway, a lot of the schools this program would serve are in Red Hood's territory, so it seemed like a good idea to get his sign-off.
That's very... Bruce trails off, clears his throat, then finishes... progressive.
I'm a real forward thinker, Theo says dryly, then internally freaks out because he just sassed Bruce Wayne!
His voice is a bit shaky when he says... next slide, please.
B! The door to the study bursts open. Dick Grayson charges through, bringing a cacophony of sound. Music and screams and is that gunfire? With him. He slams the door shut. We need to...
Hello, Dick, Tim says loudly.
Dick's head whips around at his voice, gaze settling on where Theo and Tim are mostly out of sight from the doorway due to their position near the exterior wall.
Oh, Dick says. Hi. Hi, Theo. Hi, Tim. What are you doing here?
Could ask you the same question, Tim says pointedly.
Before Dick can answer, there's another series of sharp cracks on the other side of the door.
Definitely gunfire.
What's going on? Bruce demands, rising from the desk and stalking towards the door. Dick stops him with a hand on his chest.
Riddler's here.
Bruce's face goes thundercloud stormy. Here? In my home?
Looks like the outside security company your event planning team hired for this was infiltrated.
Dick says. He's talking fast and low, calm and measured. He's a detective in Bloodhaven and was a beat cop before that. Dick's reaction to this makes sense.
Theo's reaction, a mixture of panic and annoyance, also makes sense.
Theo's a lifelong Gothamite, and Riddler tends to be more of a hindrance than a lethal threat unless he's in a bad mood.
Samish once spent a whole morning with the Riddler, collaborating on crossword puzzles while waiting for a derailed train to get cleared out of the way so their respective commutes would continue.
Bruce's reaction, anger instead of fear, does not make sense.
Theo will have to think about that more later, though, because Tim's reaction is even stronger.
Before Dick is even finished speaking, Tim is literally halfway out the window.
What the hell? Theo says, grabbing Tim's legs and dragging him back inside. There could be people out there. Bad people. Armed bad people.
I can get help, Tim protests, squirming and batting at Theo's hands.
Let me go. You're a child, Theo hisses. I know you are exceptionally bad at understanding things like this, but you are a child and you are not going somewhere unsafe when there are 3 whole adults in this room who could go instead.
He's right, Tim, Bruce says distractedly. He's back at the desk now, unplugging Theo's phone and tossing it to him. Theo misses the catch, still trying to wrangle a surprisingly strong Tim away from the window,
and pressing something inside a drawer that makes an entire section of the wall slide away. A bank of screens showing feeds from security cameras swivels into view. Dick moves to stand in front of them like this is a normal, expected thing. Like, of course Wayne Manor has walls that aren't really walls. Like Dick knew what was behind that panel. Like this has happened before. Looks like 20 of them in the building, Dick says, eyes moving rapidly between screens. He's stripping off his suit jacket, tossing it perfectly over the back of a chair. He's rolling up his sleeves. He's getting out a phone and holding it up to his ear. Another 10 at the property line, probably holding Riddler's path out of here. So what do we do? Theo asks, stooping to pick up his phone now that Tim's stopped trying to escape and gone to join Dick at the monitors. Tim stands next to Dick in a nearly identical stance, mirrored furrows of concentration on both their brows. Tim has his own phone out, typing on it without looking. Do we just stay in this room? Do we call the police? I'm the police, Dick says, which strikes Theo as a bit melodramatic, then shifts his attention to his phone. Dispatch, this is Bloodhaven Detective Dick Grayson. Riddler's taken the Wayne Charity Gala hostage. Dick walks towards a corner of the room and keeps talking, informing dispatch about what's going on. Tim and Bruce are engaged in some sort of furious, silent conversation. We can call Red Hood, Theo offers. He's covering Bloodhaven tonight, Tim says. What? Why? Where's Nightwing? Unavailable. Tim and Bruce say simultaneously. Theo squints at Bruce. Do you know Nightwing too?
He saved me a couple times, Bruce says. I tend to get into trouble, and Nightwing's always there to pull me out of it.
Dick, still on the phone with dispatch, makes a choked-off sound and looks at Bruce with big eyes. Theo ignores him to focus on the problem at hand. Okay, so no Hood and no Nightwing, and your dad's still out of town, right, Tim?
Right, Tim confirms quickly. Then, wait, why?
Theo says, because he hasn't yet figured out how to tell Tim that Theo knows that Jack Drake is Batman without accidentally telling Tim that Jack Drake is Batman if he doesn't already know. Theo's pretty sure Tim knows. He's like 80% confident. Tim is very smart. Theo? Tim says, in exactly the same, you better not be going with this where I think you're going with this tone that Max had used.
Look, Theo tries. Now is really not the time for this. People could be hurt.
Theo!
I know that your dad is Batman, Theo blurts out. Tim's eyes go wide, then flat, then blank, and no one's saying anything, so Theo just keeps talking.
I know I'm not supposed to know, and I didn't figure it out on purpose, and I know I've made some guesses before that weren't correct.
Oh, yeah, I hear I'm like 3 different vigilantes according to you, Dick says, pressing the bottom half of his phone to his shoulder to muffle the mic. Question, was I cloned, or is the going theory that I'm actually identical triplets?
What are you? Theo demands. Is there more than one of you?
Only in the dreams of many a citizen,
Dick says. But then a considering look crosses his face. Wait, hush.
I'm not being loud?
Not you, hush, Dick says. Me, hush.
What?
There was that time you got shot in the head and lost all your memories and went by Rick for a while, Tim says to Dick. Are we counting that as an alternate identity, or was it more of a quarter-life crisis?
You are mean when you're nervous, Dick says. Boys?
The warning in Bruce's voice is clear, despite his attention apparently being split between his phone and his laptop.
I have no idea what's going on, Theo says, and we are going to circle back to not making fun of people for their responses to violent trauma, Timothy,
But it seems like at the moment we should maybe be more concerned about the people with guns. I'm taking care of it, Bruce says. What does that even mean? Theo asks. Bruce says, I have contacts. Okay, but what does that mean? Theo repeats. We don't need your contacts, Tim says to Bruce, gesturing to his phone. Oracle says that Cass is already on her way. Theo perks up. He hasn't seen much of Cass since she came into the CPS office with Barbara Gordon and Steph Brown a few days after the kidnapping fiasco. Barbara Gordon introduced herself with a set of perfectly filled out paperwork establishing Cass as both a human who exists and Barbara's own ward. Cass had a fresh haircut and a tentative smile. Steph left another piece of Microsoft Paint art on Theo's work computer. This one of Nightwing giving Spoiler a piggyback ride after she sprained her ankle last week, while Red Hood pouts in the background. Something else Barbara Gordon had? A familiar voice. Theo has decided that it's because she's Commissioner Gordon's daughter, and that he is not going to think about it any further. Cass is coming? By herself? Doesn't she need backup? What she needs is a new set of throwing knives, Tim says. She's 17-ish. She does not need throwing knives. That's what you said about Spoiler and guns, Tim says. If you keep confiscating their weapons, they're just going to keep improvising new ones. Why is every girl you know terrifying? Theo asks. Says the guy whose female friends include Harley Quinn and Michelle. Tim scoffs. Why did you say that like Michelle is on the same level as Harley? Theo asks. Tim, why? Who's Cass? Bruce interrupts. Tim sighs at him. You still haven't caught up on your emails? I've been out of town for more than half a year, Bruce says defensively. Last I checked, they have internet on the in Spain, Tim says. Theo can feel his face making a weird expression. Why would Tim be emailing Bruce about Cass? All three of them, Bruce, Dick, Tim, go still. After a pause, just long enough to let Theo know he's about to be lied to, Dick finally hangs up with dispatch. Listen, Theo. My dad isn't Batman, Tim exclaims. It's important to me that you know that my dad isn't Batman, Theo. Tell me you understand that my dad isn't Batman. Theo lets himself be sidetracked, because Batman's identity and what it means for Tim's welfare is important. I get that it's kind of unbelievable. It took me a while to come to terms with it, but Bernard helped me with the... You talked to Bernard about this? We text, Theo says. He already had Jack on his list of possible Batmen, actually. And between the two of us, we have most of Batman's entire timeline cross-referenced with Jack's. It works. My dad is gone all the time, Tim says. That's the whole reason I know you, because my parents are never in the country, and you were so worked up about me not having adult supervision. What about the nannies? Bruce asks. Theo looks at Bruce, baffled. You fell for the nannies story? Dick looks at Bruce, enraged. You knew Tim's parents weren't around? He has nannies, Bruce insists. Jesus. Theo knows that Bruce is supposed to be kind of an airhead, but come on. He does not have nannies, or an uncle, for that matter. He has Red Hood and Nightwing now, at least, but why does Tim have Red Hood and Nightwing? Bruce asks, starting to sound alarmed. You really should read your emails, Dick comments. Because his dad is Batman, Theo adds. Keep up. My dad is not Batman, Tim says, throwing up his hands. He's never in Gotham. Is he actually not in Gotham? Or does he just get on a private plane to a remote location that conveniently doesn't have reliable internet or cell phone access, and then turn right around and get on another secret private plane back to Gotham? Theo asks. He's got your mom to do the actual archaeology and shore up the story. It's a solid cover.
You're insane, Tim says. You're actually fully insane.
Is Jack Drake tall enough to be Batman? Bruce asks mildly. I'm at least 3 inches taller than Jack.
What does that have to do with anything? Theo demands.
Yeah, B, Dick says casually. What does your height have to do with Batman's identity?
Theo turns to tell Dick to stay out of it, but gets distracted when he sees that Dick is holding a gun. A gun!
What the fuck? Theo says. Where did you get that? Have you had that this whole time?
I'm a cop, Dick says.
This is a gala.
Yeah, in Gotham.
Dick gives Bruce a despairing look. I would have run security for this event if you had just asked.
You were busy, Bruce says. I didn't want to impose, and I know you don't like guns.
Well, I don't like Riddler crashing your party, so I guess we're all unhappy.
Tim says, I was actually having a perfectly nice time until I found out that my boyfriend is conspiring with Theo to accuse my dad of being Batman.
I can't tell if you actually don't know or if you're trying to throw me off, Theo says.
Bruce says, you have a boyfriend?
Emails, Tim says.
Speaking of romantic partners, I'm calling Max for help, Theo announces, unlocking his phone.
Shit,
Dick says, suddenly at something he sees on the screens.
Shit, 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 Bruce!
Before Theo can ask what Dick's reacting to, the door bursts open for the second time in just a few minutes. For a heartbeat, Theo thinks it's Max, that he manifested Max here somehow. But the figure that walks in doesn't have Max's perpetually wild blonde hair. The figure that walks in is wearing a green bowler hat atop a green suit, and he's followed by a handful of goons carrying heavy weaponry.
Mr. Wayne, Riddler calls. I was wondering where you'd run off to.
In the 2 seconds between Dick's warning and Riddler walking into the room, 3 things happened. Dick's gun disappeared, the section of the wall that hides the security monitor slid back into place, and Tim ruffled his hair out of its careful coif, making him look years younger. And the way the waves of it fall over his forehead almost reminds Theo of...
I don't remember seeing your name on the invite list, Bruce says calmly.
As Riddler starts talking, Theo's brain skips a couple steps ahead. He knows how this is going to go. Riddler will pose his riddles, and someone's going to get shot if no one gets the answer right. Or even just if Riddler gets bored or feels like people aren't playing along with enough enthusiasm. Batman and the current Robin are really the only ones Riddler finds satisfactory as opponents. Maybe Theo can use his turn, if he gets one, to call Robin. Phone a friend, villain management. No one's looking at Theo. Theo's a non-factor in this situation, as far as everyone else is concerned. Theo holds very still, only moving his eyes and his thumb. He pulls up his recent text thread with Robin, presses the button to dial.
Wrong answer, Riddler crows to whatever Bruce just said.
Theo missed both the riddle and the guess while sneaking in the call. But he looks up and one of the goons is shoving Tim against the wall and pointing a gun at his chest. Theo's heart lurches unsteadily.
Bruce?
Tim asks, eyes wide and terrified. Dick is struggling against the guys holding him, bucking in their grasp.
Tim, it'll be okay. Tim, just do it. It's not worth it.
Bruce? Tim repeats, pleading and hopeless, like he's asking for permission that he isn't expecting to get.
He's holding his hands up by his head, phone clutched in white-knuckled fingers, screen lit up with an incoming call. "I'm sorry," Bruce says. His voice is wrecked, panicked, breaking. "I'm sorry, I don't know the answer, Riddler, but please." "Fuck you, Bruce, tell him to fight back," Dick snarls, pulling free from his captor's hands with a sinuous drop of his weight. But one against six with a gun to Tim's sternum aren't good odds, and Theo's been fully out of his depth this entire night, but there's no fucking way he's going to stand off to the side while Tim gets hurt. Theo's never really thought about how or when he's likely to die, but maybe this has always been the way things were going to end for him, putting himself between a child and a threat. Theo takes a few steps at a sprint and throws himself bodily into the guy menacing Tim. There's a loud retort close to his ear, and there's yelling from multiple directions, and the side of Theo's head hits the carpet. Better than a concrete warehouse floor, at least. And more gunfire, and the guy Theo tackled has him pinned. The goon gets wrenched away. Messy blonde hair pops into Theo's field of vision.
"If I asked you to stop getting into trouble," Max says, "if I asked nicely, with tongue, would it make a difference?"
"Tim," Theo gasps.
"Yeah, I didn't think so," Max says. "Come on, up you get."
Theo lets Max tow him to his feet. Theo's eyes go right to Tim, who looks shaken but unharmed, before checking the rest of the room. Riddler and all six of his men are on the floor, unconscious or getting their hands tied up behind them or both. Doing the hand tying are Dick and Cass, and keeping the couple who haven't been restrained yet from acting up is an older gentleman wearing a pristine suit and holding a shotgun with steady hands. There's another retracted section of wall behind the older man. Instead of computer screens, this one seems to lead to a hidden passageway.
"Your house has secret tunnels?"
Theo asks Bruce, who's still at the desk.
"I'm an eccentric billionaire," Bruce says. "Secret tunnels are basically a requirement." "Just one of his many idiosyncrasies, I'm afraid you'll come to find," says the old guy. "I've heard a great deal about you, Mr. Vitalis, and it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I am Alfred Pennyworth, the Wayne family butler."
There are various pieces of what Alfred just said that Theo doesn't love. The implication that Theo's going to get to know Bruce Wayne. No thanks. Alfred having heard things about Theo. From who? The fact that butlers still exist. What century is it? Max's hands are on Theo's face, though, tilting his chin this way and that to see how his pupils react to light. Tim is safe. Everyone in this room is safe. Shit, Michelle, the rest of the gala. Theo wiggles away from Max. What do we do about everyone else?
Hold that thought, Bruce says, and someone new appears in the room with a whoosh of air at the window.
The someone is big and blue and flying.
Bruce, Superman says, coming to a hovering stop a few inches above the floor. His gape ripples majestically.
Are you okay? What happened?
We're fine, Bruce assures him. Thank you for coming.
You called Superman for me? Tim asks, stunned.
You have Superman's cell phone number? Theo asks, also stunned.
Eccentric billionaire, Bruce responds with a wry smile.
Who's this? Superman asks, looking around the room and giving Max and Theo, apparently the only two unknowns from his perspective, a skeptical once-over.
This is Theo and Theo's partner Max, Dick says, tying up the last of the goons and offering Cass a high five. She pokes the center of his palm with her index finger. Dick holds out the index finger of his other hand. Cass wraps her fingers around it and gives it a hearty shake.
Theo thinks that everyone is either Batman or me. Max works for Red Hood.
Hi, Theo and Max, Superman says. You have black hair and blue eyes, Theo says.
That's true, Superman agrees.
Theo's brain does some acrobatics.
I'll come back to that. If you are here, that means the Justice League is on Earth again, which means Batman is back in Gotham. Batman didn't show up to save his own son?
Does he ever? Max mutters, too quiet for anyone but Theo to hear.
Batman is not my dad, Tim nearly shouts. My dad is still in Africa.
And I mean, things happen pretty fast, Dick hedges. I'm sure Batman would have been here if he could have.
Tell that to Red Hood, Max says, louder this time.
Silence hits the room like the aftermath of a bomb.
That wasn't Batman's fault, Superman says.
He didn't. What happened to Hood? That wasn't Batman's fault.
Oh, so it was Hood's fault?
Max snaps.
No one's saying that, Dick soothes.
Which, why? What does Dick know about any of this?
Hood knows Batman tried, Tim says. He's talking to Bruce, which doesn't make sense, but Bruce looks pale and devastated, so maybe Bruce and Batman are friends?
Bruce has Superman on speed dial, apparently, and Superman and Batman are on the same team. If Bruce knows one member of the Justice League, it tracks that he'd know the rest of them, especially the Gotham-based one.
Hood doesn't blame Batman, not anymore.
Just because Hood's forgiven Batman doesn't mean the rest of us have, Max says.
Tim whirls on Max.
We are past this. It took us a long time to get past this. Don't take us back there.
We need to get the rest of the gala attendees to safety, Bruce says quietly.
Dick sighs. Don't do this to yourself, B.
I'm fine, Bruce says. It's fine.
Theo turns to Max.
Can we leave for vacation early? Like, right now?
In a few minutes, babe, Max says. I need to team up with Superman and Detective Grayson to take down the bad guys first.
Theo's had that dream before. Although the primary activity in said dream was not taking down the bad guys.
Okay, have fun, I guess.
I always do, Max says.
Cass, you coming too?
Cass bounds over, stepping on more than one goon as she does so. She holds out a hand. Max slaps the flat side of a knife into it.
Theo sighs. No weapons for children, Max. I feel undermined, disrespected.
Also a rather common occurrence in this household, Alfred says sympathetically.
He touches a finger to his ear.
I'm being told that the GCPD's rapid response team is 6 minutes away.
Not very rapid, Theo says. Wait, Max, how did you get here so fast? And how do you know we were in this room?
Cass and I were hanging out nearby just in case, Max says. Also, trackers in your shoes.
Theo frowns down at his shoes.
These aren't even mine. I had to borrow fancy shoes.
Yeah, from Nightwing.
Nightwing's got good taste, Dick says approvingly, joining them near the door.
A bold statement, and also a lie, Tim mutters.
Dick snorts. He has his gun out again, and one of the bad guy's guns strapped across his chest.
Why are there trackers in Nightwing's shoes?
Max shrugs.
I do what my boss tells me to do.
That's not even remotely true, Theo says.
Red Hood asked you to put trackers in Nightwing's shoes? Dick asks.
Invasion of privacy, Tim calls from across the room.
I think it's sweet, Dick says, almost misty-eyed.
It's Hood must care about Nightwing a lot to do that, right?
Bruce and Superman are having a whispered conversation. Bruce jabs Superman in the side. Superman rolls his eyes and says loudly, I heard that when Batman tried to add trackers to Robin and Nightwing's civilian clothes, he got yelled at.
That's different,
Dick and Tim say at the same time. Speaking as a father myself, I'm sure Batman would love to know how it's different, Bruce says, and if there's a better way for him to express his affection and concern, one that his sons might be more amenable to. His sons, Theo repeats. His sons. His Batman is their dad? Dick groans and says to Bruce, you've been back for less than 24 hours. How are you already causing problems? Sounds like Jack Drake is the one causing problems, Bruce counters. Theo, Tim says. Theo, don't. Batman adopted all of the Robins, didn't he? Theo says. Your dad, Tim, he adopted all of the Robins. That's how you and Nightwing are brothers. And with you and Robin being so close in age, it must feel like he replaced you. Your dad probably spends all of his time with Robin instead of you, especially when he's out of town. That's gotta be so isolating and upsetting, buddy. I'm so sorry. That's why you and Robin don't get along. Tim's eyes look just about ready to pop out of his head. I am not jealous of Robin! Well, Dick wheedles. You can shut up right now. Does that make Hood Batman's son too? Theo wonders out loud. Yes, Bruce says firmly. Why, though? Theo says. If Batman's adopting the Robins, why also adopt Hood? Just to... Christ, if he was just filling the gap after Robin 2 died. That is not what happened, Dick says. That is a little bit what happened, Tim says. Not with Hood, but with Robin 3. Stop poking me, Bruce, Superman says. I'm sure that's not how Batman saw it, Tim. He's putting his children in danger, Theo breathes, letting the implications of this rock through him. Not someone else's children, his children. Honestly, though, is that better or worse? Max asks. You are not helping, Tim hisses at Max. Theo chews on his lip. I need to combine PowerPoints before my meeting with Jack and Janet next week. What PowerPoints? Bruce asks. Theo opens his phone and, oh, hey, he's been leaving an extremely long and weird voicemail for Robin. That's fun. He ends the message and flips over to a text chain with Nightwing. Guess I don't need Nightwing to set up that separate meeting with Batman anymore. What meeting? Bruce asks. Hey, that's a nice Klimt replica, Max says, looking at the painting on the wall over Bruce's shoulder. Bruce turns his head. It's not a replica. That's the original. Oh, is it? Max asks innocently. With what I spent on it, it better be the original, Bruce says with a self-deprecating chuckle. Neat, Max says. We should probably get going, huh, Big Blue? People to save and all that? Superman looks between Bruce and Max uncertainly. The door bursts open again. When Michelle steps through, there are three guns, a knife, and Superman's glowing red eyes leveled at her. She rolls her eyes. Get your shit, Vitalis. I want to get out of here before the cops show up and we have to file incident reports. Michelle, Theo says. You're okay. How are you okay? What happened? You left 200 Gothamites in a room with 15 leaderless idiots. What do you think happened? Michelle says. We handled it. Guess I shouldn't be surprised that you're late to the party, she adds, directing the last part at Superman. Superman positively wilts. Sorry, ma'am. I came as soon as I got the call. What do you have against Superman? Theo asks Michelle, bewildered. Nothing, so long as he keeps providing appropriate care and support to his child, Michelle says. He's not my child, Superman says. He's my clone, and only half at that. Michelle doesn't even dignify that with a response. She just stares, and stares, and stares. Superman wilts further. But I'm responsible for his well-being and will do everything in my power to ensure that he's safe and loved. Good boy, Michelle says. I'd hate to get called to Metropolis by my counterpart in CPS there again if you weren't following the rules. Vitalis, move your ass. I didn't want to be here in the first place, Theo says, pulling away from Max reluctantly. Your protest has been noted, Michelle says. Did you get what we came for? Jesus, Theo forgot. Mr. Wayne, the schools? I've got a copy of your proposal here, Bruce says, tapping his laptop. I'll look it over and get back to you. Okay, Theo says. It was nice to meet you, I guess. I'm glad no one died. The mark of a truly successful event, Michelle says dryly. The bar's so low that you have to dig to find it. Gotham, chorus multiple people in the room, and Theo feels the mixture of emotions behind the word with his whole chest.